Support comes from St. Louis Public Library Foundation, helping the library serve children and their families with programs and services needed to become lifelong readers. More information about the foundation is at slpl.org.
This is St. Louis on the Air from St. Louis Public Radio. I'm Elaine Cha. Many St. Louisans have a special place in their hearts for the focal point in Maplewood. For 50 years, the 100-seat listening room has been a beloved place to experience live traditional music. That was the St. Louis duo Bottle Snakes performing their track TikTok Blues at the focal point in Maplewood. Our producer, Emily Woodbury, spoke with folks around town to hear their reflections on Focal Point's impact on St. Louis over the past five decades.
My name is Gloria Attoon, and I'm a musician, songwriter, and singer. One of the first things I do if I'm going to look for something to do on a weekend or whatever is go to the Focal Point website and see, I wonder what's playing at the Focal Point. But I also love performing there because it is exactly the right size for having an intimate concert, for being able to really connect with the audience in a personal way. It's just a unifying. It feels very unifying to be at the focal point, listening and performing.
This is Steve Pick, currently of Steve Pick's Writing Place, which is a Substack blog. I have been a writer about music in St. Louis for 45 years, was a KDHX DJ for 20-some years, and work in record stores currently at Euclid Records for almost 20 years. And it is quiet at Focal Point concerts. It always has been. You can hear what's going on. The only time people make noise is when the performers say, hey, clap your hands or join in or stomp your feet or something. But otherwise, people are sitting there actually listening to the music, which is a really, really amazing thing.
I go by TJ Muller, and I lead a big band in St. Louis called the Arcadia Dance Orchestra.
Do you have a favorite memory or anecdote of a performance at Focal Point that really stands out in your memory?
We did a show there last year, and we're going to repeat it this August, wherein I brought expert musicians in 1920s music from all over the country to come recreate St. Louis-style jazz of the 1920s. So we recorded acoustically using the old horns and onto the 78 record. And what we were able to do at the focal point to an audience of about 100 people was perform for them a tune whilst we were recording it onto a 1920s 78 lathe. And then as soon as we'd finished recording it and they'd heard it live, we practically frisbeed for 78 down to the sound guy, and he put it on a turntable and played it over the speakers. And so the audience were able to experience what a 1920s band might have sounded like live versus on the 78 record. And there was just this electricity in the room. Everyone felt so excited by the process, and it wouldn't have felt the same in a huge auditorium. There was something about the intimacy of the crowd. But everyone there knew that they were the sort of lucky ones, sort of experiencing this really special thing. And the room was just buzzing.
How would you say Focal Point has shaped St. Louis's music scene over the years?
not to be too obvious here, but it's literally been a focal point of the folk music scene and to a larger extent to the early jazz and ragtime and acoustic blues scene?
Well, I think what has happened over the years is a lot of people learned about music that they heard at Focal Point and then started playing music inspired by it. So there are musicians in St. Louis who learned from this music. The first ones that come to mind would be Rough Shop, who have a respect from the music that they learned by attending concerts there in the past. Another band in town is Palaver. The word is P-A-L-A-V-E-R. They have a huge respect for the kind of music that they've heard at Focal Point, or at least the singer of the group has.
You know, I love ethnic music, and, you know, the Focal Point brings all kinds of music. So it is a very large variety of genre that we get, even though it is kind of a folk hall or room. So I appreciate knowing that there's a place like that in this area that we can count on to see that kind of music.
And that was singer and songwriter Gloria Attune, music writer Steve Pick, and St. Louis musician TJ Muller. And joining me in studio to talk about the Focal Point story, we have Judy Stein, former director of Focal Point from the early 1980s to 2011, and David Stein, current artistic director of the Focal Point, and he's also Judy's son. Judy and David, welcome to St. Louis on the Air.
Oh, thank you for having us. It's Hello. Lovely to be here.
Mm-hmm. So let's begin at the beginning.
Right.
Judy, take us back to the Focal Point's founding in 1975. It wasn't
right.
always at its current location in Maplewood.
No. Focal Point began life at the Music Folk store in Webster Groves.
Mm-hmm.
Bill and Janet Boyer owned the store at the time, and their children all played music. They were from a musical family somewhere up in Wisconsin, I think, mm-hmm. originally, or they had ties in New York State as well. Anyway, they wanted to promote live music, and so formed a not-for-profit corporation with the help of John Shoemaker, who was doing everybody's not-for-profit corporations back then.
Mm-hmm.
And in early 76, they began giving concerts out of their building. At that time, I was living out in central Missouri teaching school,
mm-hmm.
and my husband and I would come in on the weekends, and we'd visit Focal Point. We, you know, our friends played there, and we hung out. I sometimes volunteered and made popcorn and things like that,
okay.
and sometimes performed at the open mics, and a couple of times was actually hired. So anyway, became a sort of weekend thing to do, to come into town and visit friends and hang out at Focal Point.
Right.
In the ensuing few years, the Boyers lost part of their building. They sold off part of their building. And Focal Point, which had been using one of their spare rooms, was kind of let loose on the world. And we gave concerts in various places all over town. We gave concerts in the Webster Y and in a couple of church basements.
Coca,
yeah, we gave mm-hmm. concerts at Coca for a period of about, I'd say from 83 until we found this building in May of 2000 that we're in now.
Well, we
were all over town at
yeah.
that point.
David, did you have something?
I'm sorry. There was a more permanent spot in Webster for a little while. Again, back
well,
in Webster.
Well, semi-permanent, maybe mm-hmm. half, well, several months anyway.
Yeah. Right. Well, the fact that you remember that, David, you were at or around Focal Point from childhood. I believe it was since you were five.
From birth, yeah.
Yeah. yeah.
Pretty much
well, Dave was born in 77,
mm-hmm.
and he fell asleep on many a church basement pew listening to music when we were and made friends with the musicians. And then when the at that time the place was run by a friend of ours, Roberta Hudlow, who I think is still in town. She was a sister of Loretto, a nun, and she at one point in 83 she decided to leave the convent and do some experimental stuff on her own.
Oh, I see.
And she turned the whole operation over to me.
Okay.
And here I was with a cardboard box full of concert records and no place to go. And we just winged it, you know. And gradually I learned how to give concerts. Mm-hmm.
Right. And this was you and your husband,
right.
Eric, right?
And Eric did sound for the shows. Mm-hmm. And Dave, as I say, slept on the church pews, and we got along fine.
Yeah. Well, clearly, it was not such a terrible experience for you, David.
Not at all. It was exciting growing up around all of this.
Yeah. How did all of that shape your interests and your life trajectory?
Right. So, I mean, my childhood memories are. I don't know. It might have seemed normal at
the
time.
Right. Well, a kid doesn't know.
Yeah, right. Yeah. But you know, looking back on it, you know, having people like Martin Carthy or Dave Van Ronk or Doc Watson come over and hang out at the house, you know, looking back on all that, I guess.
Yeah, on a budget of zero, we did a lot of putting up musicians at our house.
Oh, right, right.
And their taste definitely influenced my taste in the future. And now that I look back, I'm like, I actually knew all these people. You know, it's kind of exciting.
And you also started a bit of a collection because of the international musicians who were coming through, I believe.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
He'd hit them up for coins.
How long did that last? Do you still have those coins, David?
They may still be around.
Yes. Right. How much of what you were experiencing and seeing as a child did you appreciate then? And was there kind of a turning point? I mean, I think sometimes when people they need to do things because of what their parents' interests are, there's a time when you don't think you wanted to do that exactly.
No, I mean, after a certain age, I just lost complete interest in teenage years.
I was out
wanting to party with friends instead of going to Focal Point mm-hmm. shows.
What changed that? When did that change?
Well, I don't know if you want to call it.
I don't think that you ever totally left. I mean,
well, no,
you'd
still come
to shows
every
once in a while. But, mm-hmm. And you did your own thing for sure, but.
But sometime up in the mid-2000s, you know, mm-hmm. you were tired of doing it and the Focal Point, at least up until that point, had been passed down from a group of people to another group of people to another group of people. It's, mm-hmm. I don't know how to exactly describe it, but I more or less took over in around 2011 mm-hmm. or started taking over in 2011 just because it wasn't anyone else that was willing at the time.
To take it up.
Yeah,
right.
At the time, yeah.
What opportunities did settling down in Maplewood in a permanent space open up? You know, is there a specific example that you can point to?
I can tell you exactly what happened. Well, first of all, we took on a few more people. Mm-hmm. We got an actual crew, an accomplished crew who could do things mm-hmm. instead of just one or two people carrying the sound gear in and out. Mm-hmm. But in addition to that, I think it brought home to us how much it would mean to other organizations. We're not a business. We're a community organization. And we always have been. And we went through, you know, at least 20 years of church basements and other people's houses
renting
and
out
so on.
Spaces, mm-hmm. yeah.
Yeah. And now we've got enough space to open our building to other organizations who would otherwise be in a church basement. Mm-hmm. So that means a good deal to us.
Actually, around 2000 when we found that building, your friend Jay Schober,
uh-huh.
right, owned that block at the time with a few other people.
Oh, that was really kind of funny. Yeah, the way we got the building. Mm-hmm. We were at an antique store in Webster Groves at the time, shoving the furniture aside to do the concerts. And Jay Schober and Marty came to the show, and mm-hmm. they said, "Oh, this is a nice building, nice sound. Looks very much like that building we just bought in Maplewood."
Oh, okay.
And so one thing led to another, and this was 1999 into 2000. By May of 2000, we had the building set up to give concerts, and we had all kinds of expert help, and the landlords let us do whatever we wanted to the building to make it sound perfect.
Right, mm-hmm. And by that point, we had a good crew of people. My dad being an engineer, electrical engineer, and a group of his friends. I think one was a retired guy from Busch Creative, Nick Kuntz, let's see, Halfar,
Greg Halfar was involved a little bit.
Yep, and a group of other just people who knew exactly what they were doing.
Mike Honshar,
yeah.
And he did the electrical system, yeah.
Uh-huh, right. They went out of their way to specifically design the room for good sound.
Oh, and I think this is a great place, actually, to take a break. We're going to hear a little bit more about those sounds, what kind of sounds were there, and the community as well. So hang on tight. We will be back very shortly. This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio.
Support comes from Gemma, architects, planners, and designers seeking to bring joy to their clients and communities. Details at gemastl.com.
Let's return to our conversation about the story of Focal Point, a music and community space celebrating its 50th anniversary this year. We're speaking with Judy Stein, who is the director of Focal Point from the early 1980s to 2011, and David Stein, the current artistic director of the Focal Point and Judy's son. Before the break, we had mentioned something about the music, which is what you all are known for.
Yeah.
So let's jump into some of that part of the conversation. Now, the kind of music that is featured at the Focal Point, it has been described as folk and roots. Is that the limits of what you all are doing, David?
Well, it depends on what you call. I mean,
oh sure, go ahead, Judy.
I'm sorry. The terminology has always been a big trap. I mean, you can call anything folk music, and you can call anything roots music because it all comes from somewhere. But you know, the commercial definitions of these things, even then get blurred, and people don't know what to call mm-hmm. certain things.
Yeah.
What we try to do is find musicians who are excellent at what they do, whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
We try to stay away from top 40 hip-hop, not so much because it's not folk or roots music, but just because you can hear that anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, we have had a couple of hip-hop artists performing at Focal Point as poets, you know, and because that's what it is.
Mm-hmm. David?
We're folk and roots, and I think originally it started off as more of a traditional
music
style.
The Boyers had a different idea,
it's evolved as it's gone.
Yeah.
I would call us traditional folk and roots, and we kind of just
fair enough.
More or less added the moniker of roots,
world music.
You know, recently, you know, it's evolving, but we try to keep it acoustic, for the most part.
Mm-hmm.
Not. cheat here and there sometimes.
Right, right. Yeah, right.
But,
and apropos of that world music, the thing that you're looking for, that you're open to, Coro das Três is a three-sister Brazilian instrumental group, mm-hmm. and they performed at Focal Point in 2023.
Yes, they're absolutely wonderful.
And let's listen to their performance of their track, Olho de Boi.
Okay.
And that was Coro das Três performing at Focal Point in Maplewood in 2023, the neighborhood.
Yeah, right.
And moving to another part of the world, Japanese guitarist and composer Hiroya Tsukumoto has performed at Focal Point before, and he's actually coming back in June. Mm-hmm. Let's hear one of his Focal Point performance recordings. And it was Hiroya Tsukumoto performing at Focal Point in Maplewood. And his show, the next show in St. Louis, is coming up on June 20th. David, how have these artists come to the space? Do you find them or do they come to you?
Both.
Both,
actually.
Yeah. I my email fills up weekly.
One musician will also recommend another musician.
Yes, that's right. True, too. And I'll speak to this a little bit later. But, you know, many of us volunteers all have jobs in the real world. So, I'll listen as much as I can and grab what I can here and there. But for the most part, as far as I'm concerned, I go out and looking for specific types of music.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And how often do people return because of that very special experience they have?
A lot of our musicians return, and we usually have a limit of once per year.
Because
We only do about, we don't do...
We do shows usually Fridays and Saturdays.
Mm. Oh, sure. Okay. That really, it does limit what is possible.
And then, yeah.
But then rent the place out to other smaller nonprofit groups
and that's
the rest of the time.
It's a great segue to how you all are contributing to the community, because the Focal Point has also served as a space for members of community organizations so that they can gather to share common interests and each other's company. And one example of this is the International Folk Dance Association of St. Louis, and that rents out the Focal Point regularly. The group's president, Nancy Couture, says that having a dedicated, affordable meeting place means everything to them.
We often talk about how we feel as a family because everyone comes, or a lot of people come every week to dance, but also to socialize. And there are always people sitting on the sidelines talking to each other. People come back time and time again because it is a venue that encourages people to express themselves both verbally and also with the dance. And it is that sense of community that we build with each other.
And that was Nancy Couture, who is with the International Folk Dance Association of St. Louis. Was that form, David, of giving back always part of what you envisioned for Focal Point?
Well, not...
It was.
Well, go ahead.
It was. you know, the building has been in the Focal Point has been where it's at since 2000. I said, you know, this is something that started with my
right.
mom.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, I think the feeling was that you know, the Focal Point floated around all over St. Louis for a long
yeah.
time, renting various spaces. So we wanted to provide a place for groups similar to ourselves.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. For the past 25 years, yeah. we've been able to do that mm-hmm. with our own building.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
Could come and do what they do for an affordable price.
Right. Mm-hmm. Because to be honest, we are one of those groups.
We were.
Focal Point is not what you'd call a business.
It's not a large.
No.
We're a one-room operation.
And we keep
it that way purposely.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We're not trying to grow, you know, too large, because we want to be a small listening room in St. Louis.
Right. Now, I've not yet had the pleasure of visiting the Focal Point myself, but producer Emily Woodbury mm-hmm. has, and she's noted how well the sound is done there, thanks to the work of your father, as well as others, and that there are great videos of performances, and overall, the atmosphere is very cozy. So this next bit of information, you've alluded to this, each of you, what knocked our socks off is that nobody at the Focal Point is paid for what they do. David, you said you all have full-time jobs. It is all volunteer run. How has that been possible?
Well,
David or Judy?
You can't think of volunteers as people doing something for free. Everybody wants to be paid in some way or another. Some people like to come to the shows for free, and some people are exercising their own creative skills by, you know, presenting things well, taking care of people, acting as hosts or hostesses. People do things because they want to,
mm-hmm.
and we want to keep that atmosphere of making it a rewarding place to work as well as to perform music.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, and you know, everybody in the organization has either retired or has a day job. I'm for instance, I'm a
right,
I'm
exactly.
a plumber for Roto-Rooter, but
okay.
I mean, but I, you know, like Jeff was a maintenance head of maintenance and or one of the maintenance people
in Rockwood School District. Yeah.
We have a librarian. We have all, you know.
We have a grant writer.
Yes, of course. No,
right. So, I'm not.
And
I'm
we
not
have
entirely,
sound engineers now. We have.
I'm not entirely sure how exactly it has worked the whole time, but it does.
Mm-hmm.
You know, our board is made up of people in the industry more than it is business people and lawyers, and it works.
Yeah. Yeah.
And as we wrap here, from each of you, is there one upcoming show that you're really looking forward to?
Oh, there's a bunch.
There's a bunch. Uh-huh. Well, you know, we went out of our way to overbook for our 50th anniversary. There's, mm-hmm. so there's all sorts of great stuff coming.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about Patty.
Patty Keenan. That's right. A good one.
And yeah. when is Patty Keenan coming?
He's
coming
on the 24th.
Yeah. It's a Saturday.
Yeah.
And he is he's unique. He's an Irish piper, and he's a traveler, a gypsy.
Yeah.
And he learned music from his father, who, when Patty was growing up, his father would not let him play with other pipers mm-hmm. because he would dilute the family style. Right?
Well, it'd be great
so,
that yeah, people will
anyway,
have the opportunity
so he's
to
a,
hear that.
He's a very special yeah. Irish bagpiper.
Mm-hmm. Well, congratulations on this year-long yeah. celebration of 50 years. Judy Stein is the former director of Focal Point, and David Stein is the Focal Point's current artistic director and Judy's son. And let's go out of today's show with a song performed at Focal Point by the Colorado Bluegrass Quartet, the Blue Canyon Boys.
Nice.
Off of my mind, vanished before me, your golden curls that hung down behind. Come sit here with me, let her.
This episode was produced by Emily Woodbury.
Our executive producer is Alex Hoyer.
St. Louis on the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio. Understanding starts here.
Do you find yourself regularly listening to episodes of St. Louis on the Air? Suggest us to a friend you think might enjoy our conversations. And leave us a review and rating on Apple Podcasts on the App Store. It's the simplest way to help people discover our show. Thanks.
St. Louis Public Radio is a member-supported service of the University of Missouri, St. Louis.
The Gateway brings you the day's news each weekday from around the St. Louis region and the state capitals in Jefferson City.
Our schools are accredited. We don't need this bill.
And Springfield.
How many more years must pass before lawmakers see time is of the essence?
I'm Abby Larico. Join me each weekday for The Gateway on the STLPR app or wherever you get podcasts.